Broadcasting was essentially invented by unlicensed amateurs who weren't working for the government and weren't working for large corporations. A lot of them hadn't even hit puberty yet.
Can you hear me?
Mostly assumed that radio would only be used for point-to-point communication between ships or from ship to shore and the like.
I have to turn the radio down.
And they weren't just sending Morse code. They started talking.
Am I on the air?
And as they started talking, the idea emerged of not just talking to one other person out there, not just trading emails, so to speak, but broadcasting from one to many. People started putting phonographs next to their transmitters and playing music into the ether. And at this time, you know, radios, the people who were doing this, it was mostly a homemade affair. It was only a subculture. And the first radio act was passed, and this is in the 19-teens. It didn't have a whole lot of effect. They didn't really have the means to enforce all of the rules, and the rules weren't as strict as some of the ones that would come along later. But after World War I started, the airwaves were formally nationalized, and everyone was ordered to shut down their transmitters and to let the military control everything. At the same time, the military discovered that they had the people they had trained to use the airwaves weren't as good as these amateurs that were now joining the military and were quite more adept than the formally trained professionals. And so as a result, after the war, there was this awareness that you couldn't just hang on to all the airwaves, that even from the military's point of view, it was useful to have this amateur subculture. And so the amateur band was permitted to continue. But now they had all these new rules that basically said that if you're going to be an amateur, you couldn't be a broadcaster at the same time. And at the same time, you start to see the emergence of commercial stations. If you wanted to be a broadcaster, you had to be in one of these licensed professional broadcast stations. Before long, we had another radio act, the creation of the Federal Radio Commission. The Federal Radio Commission decided to regulate the airwaves in a manner that favored commercial advertising-supported network stations and disfavored non-commercial stations, with points of view, church stations, union stations, and the like. And you don't really get a serious effort to do things differently, again, until the late 1940s, when Lewis Hill creates the Pacifica Foundation.
Many romantic feelings were associated with radio broadcasting, as with aviation or with motoring across the far western United States. Listener sponsorship, of course, is an effort to complete the integration of this medium with the community of which it is part.
This is Gilbert Gelding, and you're listening to Counting Coffins on KPFT. Houston. Today, we're asking our listeners, what is different about Pacifica? Line one, you're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
There's something very peculiar about these telephones here. Line, ow! Oh! Oh. I think...
Why it's different?
I think you're on the air. Hello?
You mean in real terms or sort of corporate sounding terms?
Exactly.
Well, I think because it's really uncensored programming, and the programmers have the independence to make their own choices without any immediate supervision, with only the most light-handed guidelines.
Line one, you are on the air. Oh, apparently not. Let's try that again. Well, I must be doing something wrong. Let's try line one more time.
Oh, it's me, Jimmy. Pacifica, it's really like an oasis, almost in a desert or something. On all of the Pacifica stations, you can find information, culture, entertainment that you won't find anywhere else. It's informative, it's unique, diverse. Pacifica provides an alternative that's like the opposition media to the status quo.
What you will hear now will bring back memories to some, will will open up new fields to others, but most important...
Lewis Hill, who had been, interestingly, part of the amateur radio subculture when he was younger, decided to start a non-commercial station on the FM band that was supported by the listeners rather than supported by selling advertising. And he sort of stumbled on this business model. He originally wanted to have, you know, a few commercials, just enough to pay the bills. And then he wound up doing this instead. And this was back before the government was giving money to radio stations. You didn't have the Corporation for Public Broadcasting then. You didn't have National Public Radio. The idea really was to be supported just by your listeners. And it didn't entirely work out, because he wound up getting some foundation grants after a while as well, because he was running out of money. But it was a different model.
We're on the air in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The pencil.
I think Jacqueline's inspired now.
Because it had the mission statement that makes it different than most other...
You can't have good without evil. If there's no evil, I mean, you can be a good person, but you can't be a hero with no evil, because you have to make it better. And there has to be something that you must make better.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end.
Maybe there's other community stations that have similar ideas and ideals as specific.
Never meaning to send.
It's a very, very special station.
Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before.
Pacifica is very special.
Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore.
To me, the true superhero and the ones who have survived coincide with the true mythic hero. They have the power. They have the power. And they get the call. The call is a mystic thing, like I say. It can be a bat flying in your window. It can be anything. Sometimes they avoid the call, but they can't. They can't, because they are put on this earth. Sometimes sense of the earth and are on a rocket ship, you know. But they are put on this earth to fight evil. To fight the evil to make things better. And that's the hero in his purest form.
What is this terrible thing?
I think that the main difference between Pacifica and any other network, or even just their independent stations, is the fact that a common person can come in and have their view expressed. Most people that are activists or, you know, have a different taste from what you find in the commercial radio, they can go in and create the ideas and see them grow and germinate with the community.
I think the difference between Pacifica and other community and or public radio stations is that Pacifica is mission-driven. Pacifica was founded for a set of purposes. And those purposes are etched in stone. That's why we are a nonprofit able to solicit money from people, is in support of those purposes. So we can't go off and pursue some other purposes. And that's a little different concept from community radio, in that in community radio, it's more or less a community access project where the community can define the purposes as it suits them. And public radio, I tend to describe as state radio.
Radio stations and NPR don't give alternate point of view.
When Lewis Hill creates the Pacifica Foundation,
it allows freedom of expression. It minorities to voice their opinion.
It's Brass Knuckles Radio. Brass Knuckles.
We come to invade you while you're playing in your playpen.
Brass Knuckles. Brass Knuckles Radio. Brass Knuckles.
Line one, you are on the air.
Pacifica Radio is the only venue for free speech radio, for Democracy Now!, for programs that are covering news and actually being censored by mainstream media.
Brass Knuckles is Brass Knuckles Radio. Brass Knuckles.
I have personal experience with CNN, with ABC, with CBS, choosing to cancel programming on talk shows, choosing to intimidate producers in not covering issues that are crucial to big stories that are out there. For example, 9/11. There was a lot of manipulation of the media around September 11th.
Brass Knuckles.
Frightening people into not
Brass Knuckles Radio.
Civil rights were going away.
I think you're on the air. Hello.
I was going to Los Angeles and they said, well, while you're out there, be sure and listen to KPFK. And so I listened to KPFK. Then I went to, I was going to New York, and they said, well, listen to our radio station up there, WBAI. And then I went to San Francisco and spent a long weekend there, and I just literally couldn't get out of the hotel room listening to KPFA. And I certainly saw why we needed a radio station like that in Houston.
Well, it's supposed to be different from all other stations. It's supposed to be listener-sponsored and a grassroots radio without commercial plugs or underwriting. However, it does involve personalities, and somehow personalities are driven by things other than corporate underwriting and plugs. They're driven by personal agendas, and Pacifica has been a reflection of the times in which it exists. So this is not necessarily true of other stations which have fixed niches. You know, they're going to do, NPR stations going to have the same schedule. You're going to hear Morning Edition or All Things Considered, so-called All Things Considered, Some Things Considered. And they will pretty much have the same format and crisis level, given the fact that we're bombing the hell out of Panama or Iraq or wherever. But Pacifica has that potential, which it has used from time to time, of structuring its programming to suit the time.
Until 1949, nobody in public or community radio had received a license unless they were a school, a college, a municipality, maybe even, you know, a private business. And this is the very, very first time that just a bunch of ordinary folks wrote the FCC and asked for a license.
Pacifica is, I believe, the first radio network that is about to be governed in a democratic process.
When I found KPFK by accident, I heard things I had never heard. And that changed my life completely. From being a person who was try to run off and hide somewhere to someone who understood that I had to become engaged, had to become educated, and that I wasn't alone, and that I could join with other people.
Put aside your religion, do your God a favor,
and to have hope to change things, to make this a better society.
Forgive yourself.
That's why Pacifica was founded. And that's why it's so important that we preserve it.
Pacifica is very special.
How is Pacifica Different? Was produced by Otis Harding McClay and mixed at Scooterbilt Studios for KPFT, Bigger Than Texas, and Pacifica, with excerpts from WBAI's Peter Beauchamp, also from WBAI,
Janet Coleman,
from KPFK,
thank you, Raphael,
thank you, Dave,
from KPFA,
Harold Spooner,
Gregory Wonderwheel,
with Jeffrey,
are you taping this,
Blankfort, from KZXY Mendocino, also,
TUC Radio, and Mariah Gallardin.
Don't forget,
Jesse Walker, Associate Editor of Reason Magazine, and author of Rebels on the Air, an alternative history of radio in America.
Also, Stephanie,
Free Speech,
Hendricks, and
Jeffrey Brooks.
From KPFT,
Gilbert Gelding,
Jimmy Clark,
Jacqueline Batiste, Debbie,
how dare you,
Campbell, Dr.
Right now,
Woodson,
Chris Hampson,
Nusrat Malik,
Ray Hill. From Grassroots Radio, Unwelcome Guests, Free Pacifica, Save Pacifica, the A In Post Radio Project, and Radio for All.
Brass Knuckles.
Lynn Gary.
Is Brass Knuckles Radio. Brass Knuckles.
Music by Talking Heads, Mickey Hart, Slum Village, NPR, Moody Blues, and The Roaches. Thank you for listening.
Is Brass Knuckles Radio.